Welcome to the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Terry Rutherford, the chef in a hat.
And I'm Katie O.
I am chef owner and author of four books and owner of a bunch of restaurants here in downtown Seattle. We're coming to you from the Hot Stove Society, our cooking school, where we do lots of social classes and intensive classes and non-intensive. And sometimes we are really social. We just drink. At the Hot Stove. So it's a good time. You can go to any, find out about our show here. Come be one of our live audience members. You guys are alive, right?
Yes,
they are alive. They've all come in during Carmageddon, made their way to downtown Seattle, braved the traffic.
Such a drama for, I don't know what exactly. But.
Well, I'll tell you what's good for is it's good for parking spots. I drove up this morning at 9 o'clock this morning. 7 parking spaces in front of Lola.
Yeah, well, I drove...
I can tell you what it's bad for.
Business
spots. Because of empty parking spots, there was nobody in Lola this morning. So.
Well, it's a great day to go have breakfast then.
Yeah. Love the weather around here.
Don't wait for the table.
I am just back from the big island of Hawaii, Kona. I was there for 3.5, 4 days, playing in a golf tournament. Played 6 rounds in 4 days.
And, wow!
And...
Wait, 6 rounds in 4 days.
I was captain of my team, the Puako Poodle Dogs, in last place on day 4, in first place at the end of day.
Wow, look at you go. Yeah, they're
just
fancy.
Saying, the Poodle Dogs were hot.
Vengeance.
But what we always want to know is, when you're off the course, what are you eating? When you go to Kona, what do you look forward to eating?
Well, we were hosted at a very fancy resort called Kohanaiki.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new resort just towards Kona from the airport there, mm-hmm. on the Big Island, if you're familiar. And we ate whatever they fed us. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Almost always breakfast was an egg burrito on the course.
Okay. Grab and go.
With skewers of tropical fruit. Lunch was bibimbap or something, something Polynesian. I know that's Korean, but I think of that food kind of in Hawaii as kind of a mashup.
Maybe it's all the ginger and the sesame and all that sort of
but
stuff.
Yeah, but they mashed the bento with the bibimbap, with the stir-fried rice, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of all becomes Polynesian, but maybe that's a bigger basket than what I'm actually saying. On the show today, we're going to answer your questions about pastry, kitchen tools, and more. We're going to talk about Super Bowl treats and why is it that we always move towards trashy instead of delicious at Super Bowl time. Like, we're just trying to make the trashy stuff more delicious.
Yes, right. Instead of making
wrong
it
with
delicious.
Serving like a veal chop with morels at the Super Bowl? Why does it have to be nachos?
Feels like a lot of cutlery, I'm not going to lie.
Why does it have to be a lot of nachos and.
Finger foods, man.
Okay. I'm just asking a simple question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deciding where to eat downtown to celebrate the end of Carmageddon is going to come up later. And boy, are we ready for the end of Carmageddon.
Are you feeling over it?
Yes, I'm very much over it. And of course, the intention and the goodwill is to have me defeat both of you in Food for Thought Tasty Trivia.
Mm. Really? Is that the intention of the segment?
Katie, I help you, help me, and we just kick his butt.
Yeah, let's tag team today.
But first, we're going to start with our taste of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Always eating.
We jumped around from our ordinary to extraordinary. So, Katie, why don't you start us off? Because you barely got in last time.
I barely got in last time. You know, I am loving my little co-op in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it's where I go and find whatever is really super-duper fresh. Right now, they've got such a beautiful citrus selection over at the Madison Co-op. But my taste of the week was the Uli sausages. They have a big selection of Uli sausages, mm-hmm. there. And I was kind of like poking around, and there's some normal stuff in there, like bratwurst and things and kielbasa. But they had some Hungarian sausages. And I was like, you know, that sounds delicious. And I took them home and basically took a chicken paprikash recipe instead of using thighs. Chicken thighs. I subbed in those Hungarian sausages, and they were delicious. was a big fan.
What makes a Hungarian sausage?
You know, I'm going to guess it's that paprika, that they love so much. Mm. But otherwise, a pretty standard blend of meats, it seemed. But again, really delicious when you're sautéing and cooking down your onions and your peppers and a little bit of bay. And I serve that on top of couscous as opposed to the traditional, I guess, buttered noodles.
Classic Hungarian couscous.
Classic Hungarian, yeah. I was doing my own mashup, as you can see. But yeah, I was like, well, they serve it with, you know, egg noodles. I don't really feel like egg noodles. I'd rather have some couscous. And then I took a little harissa out of the pantry. I took a page out of the Thierry Rotaro.
Classic Moroccan.
Yeah, exactly. I had a little Moroccan, a little Hungarian. Yeah. It was like all coming together.
That's nice. I like the combination of the two.
Chef Thierry, how about you?
I must say a little duck consommé with some seared scallop and some pureed salsify.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had over in Hawaii this
week.
Yes! Duck, what did you have? Duck what?
So, seared scallop.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful, sweet, gorgeous, fresh sea scallop. Seared with a pureed of salsify on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then a duck consommé around it. And then I forgot to mention julienne truffle on top of that.
Where was
that?
That
was probably... I just did a dinner in Naples, Florida. And that was one of the courses. And I was like, damn, that is so good. That is just delicate and delicious all the way. I mean, those truffle, of course, it doesn't hurt. They're in perfect time of the year now, the Périgord truffle. Mm-hmm. Beautifully ripe. But that combination of the sweet, the scallop, the pureed salsify, and then the consommé, the duck consommé, brings that little meatiness to the whole thing, but very delicate. Oh, it was actually quite lovely. Obviously very rich of a... Mm-hmm. of an item, and also not for everyone to make, but just the idea of the scallop with the duck consommé is actually a...
And you just seared them with salt and pepper?
Seared salt and pepper, and that's it.
In brown butter or what?
Brown butter, always.
Yeah.
So I put a little bit, a dash of either duck fat or olive oil in the pan, then put in my butter right away so the butter doesn't burn. It browns, and then sear those scallops.
Lovely. Well, I'll say, having just got off a plane from the Big Island, that I understand why poke is so popular. But I will say also that seems the place to eat it.
Yeah. Of course.
A little afternoon, a little bit of warm rice with fresh tuna just picked out of the ocean that morning. It was spectacular. And not so much of the garnish that we all want to put on it. Just really simple. Little seaweed, little sesame oil, a little soy, and boom.
And again, pickle in Hawaii.
Cucumbers.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
It's really
in
Hawaii.
85 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little trade breeze coming off the ocean.
Mm, you're sending me there.
Yeah. And I'll show you my tan lines later.
Okay. Off air.
Or do you want to see them
me.
Now?
Oh, boy. What you can't see is
those
Tom just
tan lines right there. Yeah.
Hoisted his meaty thigh onto the camera.
None of that. Don't want to get too worked up. Super trashy food for Super Bowl? Not at my house. On Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Seattle Kitchen Show. I am Thierry Rotaro, the chef in a hat.
And I am Tom Douglas, your host.
Yes, and I'm Katie O, here to talk about Super Bowl.
So I posed a question, Katie.
What?
Why do we always have to go trashy at Super Bowl? Why can't we have a little veal chop with some sautéed morels, maybe a little Yukon Gold potato galette, some steamed or seared broccoli, maybe a little lobster bisque to start with, a little gâteau.
It's very funny.
With brandied cherries and old... some not old, but bay whip. I was going to say old bay whip.
Old bay
with
whip.
Bay whipped cream, bay scented whipped cream.
Tom, you're
and,
starting
maybe
to...
maybe a little start with some oysters and champagne.
You want to know why we don't
so
do
So why
that?
Is it that why? We all just sit around talking about how trashy we can make the nachos?
I don't know. Do you make those things for Thanksgiving? There are certain things that you eat for certain special events. Thanksgiving is not the time to make whatever veal thing it is with the morels and da-da-da.
Why not?
You make turkey. And when it's Super Bowl, you make finger foods.
What if
people are cheering, people are clapping, people are mostly drinking, I would say, for the majority of the game. And it's not the time to pull out the china and your finest cutlery and sit there sawing away.
Okay.
If you're going to throw a plate at the TV, shouldn't it be a good plate?
Yeah.
Touche. Like, really go for it. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
What's a paper plate going to do?
Use grandma's plate. Yeah. I think, what about changing things around a little bit? You know, we always talk about challenges and I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I know what I'm cooking. I'm going to be cooking Côte de Bœuf. There's going to be six of us, and I'm going to be cooking seven of us. I'm going to be cooking three big Côte de Bœuf, you know, beef chops.
For the Super Bowl? Like, yeah. You're going to eat it during Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So like a tomahawk steak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big on the bone, you know, three of them. Yeah. Then I'm going to cut them and slice them, and we're going to have all kind of garnish with this, and crab salad to start.
So wow. It is okay to go high-end at Super Bowl.
Well, why not? I mean, to me,
asked the question.
In life, I think there is no reason to go low if you can go high.
But can you not go high with still keeping some of the tradition in place of finger foods?
So you're talking like a high-value buffalo chicken wing. What's going to make that better for you?
Maybe it's not a high-end buffalo chicken wing, but maybe it's your chicken wings from the Palace Kitchen. Those are wings. They are delicious. They are not your average wing.
They are awesome wings.
They are awesome wings. Do you see what I'm saying? Your wings at Tanaka-san, those are delicious wings.
Those are
technically like buffalo wings.
Nobody bakes a quiche on Super Bowl.
Bake a quiche and cut it in small cube.
It's not like we're playing soccer here.
Oh, Jesus.
Pigs in a blanket. Maybe
the
this
things
is
I have
you,
to listen to.
Maybe you make your own sausage. Maybe you get some of that pretzel dough from the Brave Horse Tavern and you roll up your homemade little sausages and you make pigs in a blanket. I mean, I think that there are ways to do this. I cannot believe that I have to tell you two this. You are the professionals. I shouldn't have to explain this to you.
We are trying to move on to 2019. Let's move away from that.
2019, well, I promise you, people are still going to be eating nachos,
roast some broccoli,
and sliders, and all the things that one normally has at the
Make big
Super Bowl.
Heads of broccoli and then roast them really high heat and then have some dipping sauce. That's good finger food.
Sure, I love crudité.
No, these are cooked, though. Crudité is raw.
Sure, I love vegetables and dipping sauce.
Okay, so if we're going to take your trashy food and try and follow your path.
Well, how dare you, first of all. It's not just my trashy food. I don't even watch this.
Well, you're defending it for some reason.
I really am. I'm defending everyone out there.
Okay, if we're going to take your trashy food, as I said, and make it better for the Super Bowl, I would suggest, let's start with buffalo chicken wings.
Sure.
So I know you suggested the one out of my book, the Palace Wings, but... Let's say you don't have that recipe, and that you've been too cheap to buy my book, and
it's not available online. The recipe has never been published online. Sure.
And so now you've just got buffalo wings. Now, for me, if I were to start there, one of the things I don't like about buffalo wings is that they take the raw wing and just drop it in the fryer, and there's really nothing interesting going on there. And the only thing they're relying on is that dredge of hot sauce, Frank's hot sauce, when it comes out of the fryer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which then sogs it out, generally.
Yeah, they're just big, soggy nothings. And then typically it's served with limp celery and limp carrots that have been around your vegetable
how
drawer for the
make
last
these
2 weeks.
Limp?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Sure, fine.
So, how do we make that better?
How do you?
That is a tough test.
I don't think it is. I think you.
You know, instead of frying, number one, you could be roasting. You know, you could put a nice rub on your chicken wings, let it macerate for a couple of hours on the counter, and then throw that in the oven, pretty hot heat, 450, and then roast your chicken wing instead of frying your chicken wing, and you'll have some very nice crispy on the outside and still juicy on the inside wings, which is what you're all looking for. But, you know, stay away from the deep frying part. Make it a little bit, you know, and also create a little dipping sauce. You could do like peanut and oil.
Yeah, but buffalo wings are supposed to be hot and spicy. I mean, that's what.
Okay, but just keep it at that. But I like a little dipping sauce.
I just think some breading or some like a little dredge of rice, toasted rice flour, something to really crispen up the outside rather than just fried skin. I don't know.
Right.
And then, of course, vegetables. Yeah, I'm all over the place on the vegetables. What about the ranch dip?
What about it?
Or the blue cheese.
Yeah, what about it?
It grosses me out.
Why does it gross you out?
Just because the blue cheese and the hot sauce, I don't know, just doesn't do it for me.
You know, I've heard this. I've heard this lament a couple of times. It's fine. You don't have to have it.
So what's a good alternative? Ranch, obviously, I just said, but...
Well, I would say, like, instead of maybe your classic Hidden Valley, what if you made a nice little buttermilk tarragon dressing that wasn't quite a ranch, but had a little nod to ranch dressing?
Ooh.
Now I'm very excited about that.
I know, I was
going
to say, you're really looking me in the eyes right now.
I am. Yeah. I'm thinking.
It's a look of love.
Little rice vinegar, a little tarragon, a little sour cream.
A little zest of lemon.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Something to brighten those funky little wings.
That's right. Just something nice to cut through that heat. I think that's what people are looking for. Well, what about, come on, I know you know how to do this really, really well, nachos.
Yeah.
Nachos. Big part of game day.
You know why they're mine?
Oh, my God.
Boy.
Because they're nachos.
Producer Tina made it just in time for that joke that she loves so much. Yeah. Dad jokes.
I think nachos, the important thing is to use cast iron pan. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You have to keep them warm longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Or else the cheese just coagulates and you have a big pile of, what would be an analogous to... cold nachos.
Oh my gosh, it would be poutine. Your nightmare.
My other nightmare. No, but so I make a little thinner homemade cheese sauce. And I use a hot cast iron pan so that the radiant heat keeps it warm. Mm-hmm. And then I just pour it all over the top. And I think oftentimes, you know, we're very well known for our Cadillac nachos at Cantina Lena.
Yeah.
But there's too much stuff on there for me personally. I prefer just chips and cheese.
Chips and cheese.
Maybe
please.
A little sprinkle of jalapeno or something like that. But.
I'm kind of with you. I like a little less is more in the nacho department. Mm-hmm. Same with my guac. I don't really like a lot of stuff in my guac.
Yeah, I'd rather just take that cheesy chip and dip it in that beans.
Right.
Or dip it in the barbecue.
There you go.
Or
maybe this is time for the fondue.
I was going to say fondue.
Bring
cheese fondue.
And put your cheese queso in there.
Yeah. And, you know, Super Bowl, before we get past that, I know we only have 1 minute, but it's the number one day for avocados of the year. It's more avocados are sold for Super Bowl than any other day.
Wow. Interesting.
So you got to have guac, apparently.
You have to. And because we have even less than a minute left, I will say this is your opportunity for the both of you to enjoy some coconut prawns. I know how much you love them.
Oh,
yeah. And this is
trashy coconut prawn.
I'm coming to your house for Super Bowl, but you don't watch Super Bowl.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
And back to the avocado.
I like the food. But
you're good
at
the food part.
Yeah, well, I like trashy food.
You could also put some crab salad in that avocado.
Oh, hey.
Half avocado per person.
I see you, Chef in the
Head. I like your positive attitude to something you don't even care about.
Yes!
Because I actually care about the Super Bowl, but...
So, how about I come to your house and I'll make you coconut prawns?
Done.
There you go.
So who's going to win?
Up next, it's Food in the News, right here on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. We're back in the Seattle kitchen. It's the Hot Stove Society. We're here with LARJ Media, our producing team, and also a lovely live audience today. Thank you all for coming. It's time for Food in the News, KDO.
That's right. This is where Sarah, our producer, finds the most interesting stories online about food, and it is where we then discuss those stories. You ready to do this?
Yes.
All right. The first one comes from Como News, local news station. They then went to another source and found some news, a site called Apartment Guide. Never heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
No offense, Apartment Guide. I don't know you.
It's been on the street corners for like a bazillion years.
What?
You're an apartment dweller. How do you not know Apartment Guide?
Well, because I have an apartment. I don't need a guide about apartments.
Okay.
I've got one.
All right.
But all that said, they came out with this report that Seattle, not best city for coffee lovers in America or even Washington.
Mm.
Hard-hitting news.
Mm-hmm.
At the top was some places in California, and ahead of us was Olympia, Washington. But Seattle ranked fourth. What do you feel anything about this?
Well, when I read it based on how many places to buy coffee per person in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, like there's a coffee shop for every 30 people or something of that nature.
Yeah.
So that's all about volume and not quality. And so I would suggest that Seattle probably still has the best quality overall coffee shops
Correct.
In the world. And so... if you would just dig a little deeper instead of just reading those trashy headlines.
I don't want to.
That's why you have a People magazine subscription.
I don't even want to read Apartment Guide, let alone headlines.
It's Vancouver.
That's how much I'm not paying attention to this. I knew it was somewhere southern of where we are right now. No offense to the southern cities. I also would argue that Seattle is ubiquitous with coffee. So even if Berkeley, California has more coffee shops, you know, in a certain radius, it's like, it's kind of whatever. Like, we're the home of coffee.
Yeah. I mean, what's Italy got on us?
Nothing. They've got
a few thousand years.
Give them their wine. Give them their cheese.
Did you say we're the home of coffee?
Yeah, there, I said it.
We are, just to be clear, we're the home of Starbucks, which isn't necessarily all coffee.
But I would
fact,
also
coffee
say,
has to be grown within 10 degrees of the equator.
But I,
so we are not the home of anything.
Gosh. Let me just have some hometown pride without you getting in the way for a second. I think that there are obviously cultures that have very strong coffee traditions. Mm. But in recent history, I think that there has been an obsession about coffee. And I think a lot of that was obviously spurred by, you know, Starbucks going to Italy, taking that culture, bringing it back to the United States, and doing their own interpretation of it. But on top of that, you know, like, we just do certain things that other cultures don't do with their coffee. Mm-hmm. You can go into almost any coffee shop, specialty coffee shop, be it local or one of the big national chains, and really have very specified desires for your coffee, and they will make it to you and your specs.
Yes.
And I think that is something that we are very much known for here.
So
be as picky as you want.
Is your pride less hurt now, or what is...
My ego is not as bruised. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for letting me have that moment. This next story comes from the New York Times. A little bit more serious. Less beef, more beans. Expert says world needs a new diet. This article essentially takes on the, I would say, more commonly held belief that a plant-based diet is not only better for your health, but for the environment as well, due to the carbon emissions emitted from things like steer and cattle and sheep and so on and so forth, and the amount of energy it takes to feed those animals and the detriment that causes on the environment. But it begs the question, you know, we are a culture that loves our meat, that in fact, when we have a meal doesn't feel like a meal unless there is some sort of animal protein on the plate or at least some eggs. And I was curious to get your opinion on that because you see that firsthand in the restaurants. Yes, there is certainly a bigger move, especially, I think, in more coastal cities to move towards a vegetarian or vegan diet. And we see that more and more. But I would imagine that in your restaurants, you have a lot of people that feel that meat is necessary.
Well, I also think that going to a restaurant for many is a celebration and a special thing. So when you go out to celebrate and to do a special thing, you know, you kind of look for the things you don't have at home. So I think the most important part is not necessarily just in restaurant, but also at home to teach yourself to eat maybe not as much meat. You know, and to diverse our diet, which is, I think, one of the biggest issue we have today is we eat the same thing over and over. Beef, chicken, and pork, and, you know, some lamb. Not many people eat rabbit. I constantly keep telling people, you should eat rabbit. They reproduce so fast, and they're so good. They're so lean.
The idea is the same thing, though. They still produce
I've been facetious.
Poop. Essentially, and so it's. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I think that, you know, I have a lot of friends that have their own jets, and they, you know, people that were putting out carbon.
I know you're very
carbon
fancy.
In all sorts of ways.
Sure.
So I think it deserves an expert. I'd ask Sarah to get us an expert on this, and because I'd like to some explanation of why composting is any more better for the planet than putting it in the ground and letting it, all of our garbage, letting it compost in that way rather than separating the compost. People try to argue that it's better for the methane in this quicker kind of way, and I don't get it. So I'd like to have an expert on.
I will get you that expert. Stay tuned, Seattle.
So what's the next one?
Okay.
Not to deflate that story, but I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well,
I still think people should have a diversified diet.
I get that the animal products is another issue, but I'm talking about compost and all the things in general.
You want everything about why is it a sustainable choice to do everything
to
that
do
we're
vegetables.
Doing.
To do vegetables. Because as they rot, as the trimmings from them rot, as we poop that, is it any different in methane than having
animal
products?
I think it is. I think there's a huge difference in the methane output with animals versus plants. And then on top of the animals, you have to cultivate the plants to feed the animals. Mm-hmm. So it's more on top of more, essentially, is what people are saying. All right. Have you been practicing the art of condomari?
I have not.
Do you know anything about this?
I don't.
I've got
I do it between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m.
2 a.m. and 4 a.m.? Okay.
In my dream.
So a few years back, I want to say, there was this very popular book that came out by an author, Marie Kondo, and very petite Japanese woman who essentially espouses the idea that joy can come from the things that you have, but also a lot of stuff that we have doesn't bring us any joy whatsoever, and that we should be purging those things, giving them to people who either need them or certainly getting them out of our lives if they are maybe causing us some level of angst or anxiety, such as a pantry that is insane, a fridge that is not well kept, appliances in a kitchen that perhaps you don't use.
A freezer that looks like a museum.
Yeah, that make you feel guilty. Like, you open it up and you're like, ugh, gosh, it's kind of a mess in here. And like, you know what I never use? I never use that potato ricer. So, the question is, when's the last time you guys went through your pantry and cleaned everything out? Do you practice this? Does this sound like a good idea?
Well, every time I cook, I usually look around, you know, when I'm cooking in my house. Mm-hmm. I go into the spice cabinet or the... all the tools that I have hanging in my kitchen. I have a bunch of pots and pans hanging on a rack and things like this. And it does happen, and sometimes I look at something and I go, I never use that. I have an example. It's a colander, you know, like a big strainer. It's got cherries on it that was given to us for Christmas like 10 years ago. I don't think I've used it once.
Uh-huh.
But it's hanging on my pot rack. It looks really good.
So,
But it's one of those things, every time I look at it, I go, why do we have this?
Why do we have this? Tom, you are notorious for having quite a large kitchen with many things, but do you feel like everything has a place? Does it all bring you joy?
I would say yes, although a couple of years ago we sold our condo downtown, and so I ended up getting doubles of certain things. Mm. Like, for some reason, I have 3 spice grinders right now.
That's a lot of spice grinding.
So I'm pretty good at culling. I'm not a rat packer, a hoarder. My father was, and I hated it, and so I've consciously made that decision to not be that way. But my favorite trips are taking the garbage out on Tuesday night for Wednesday morning pickup and the recycling, and going to Goodwill. Those are my favorite trips.
Really?
So I'd like, because I'm a shopper, I don't mind buying it, but then I like to give it away.
I think that's nice. Like, if you're not going to use it, find a nice home for it, or let someone else decide if they would like it in their home. Don't just throw things away willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. I would just suggest, as I've said to a lot of friends right now, a lot of people are watching because there's a Netflix series particularly about this woman coming into people's homes and helping them clean things out. If you are looking for specific items, I would say the Goodwills are a really good place to go.
It's been for years.
But I think particularly now, everyone is clearing out their closets and their cabinets. Yes.
That's awesome. Good idea. Start the year by going to Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Bring some stuff in, take some stuff out.
All right, we're going to answer some of your questions on pastry, sausage, and more when we come back on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. It's the Seattle Kitchen Show. We are back in the middle of it. I'm Tom Douglas.
I'm Terry Rotero, the chef in a hat.
And I'm Katie O.
We're surviving Carmageddon here in downtown Seattle. Can't wait to see you all back in our house here at the restaurants. We miss you.
particularly Tom.
We miss you a lot.
Okay, Katie, we've got some questions from our listeners, as we always do. Where do they get? Where did you get those?
We got these on our Facebook page, Seattle Kitchen. And if ever you feel like you just have a kitchen quandary, you can get onto our Facebook page, Seattle Kitchen, and let us know.
Okay, I have a little quandary.
What's that? Every time
I open the news anymore, it says people are dropping Facebook, and we get all of our questions on Facebook. Sarah, what are we going to do for people to contact the show and send us our questions?
Well, if you have a question and you are not on Facebook, you can always send it to me, Sarah@largemedia.com.
L-A-R-J.
L-A-R-J, Sarah with an H.
There you go.
All right.
Sarah with an H at large media.
Because I know some people are just getting rid of it.
That's right. So far, our Facebook group seems like we're doing pretty well. Okay. Haven't seen much drop, but come join us. Let us be the only thing you do on Facebook.
No, we haven't, but I keep hearing. I see it in the news all the time. You dropped it?
I dropped it.
Oh, man.
Any particular reason?
Yeah, there's a ton of reasons. I felt like the algorithm sucked, and I was only seeing things that I didn't particularly want to see or that I already knew. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting everyone's opinions on all the things, and I know that I have plenty of people in my life with dissenting thoughts, but it was all getting filtered to one type of thought, and I didn't love that. And just all the security breaches, I just was kind of over it.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
so what do you? How do you? So how do you think our listeners will contact us instead? What would you do?
Well, if I really had a question, I'd probably just text the two of you because I have your number. But if I was one of our listeners, I would probably email Sarah or I'd get onto Instagram.
Instagram
is still a fairly, I mean, they're owned by Facebook, so you've got some of the same issues, but
right.
A lot of people
are there. I was just curious about that.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get onto these questions. The first one comes from Mark. Mark wants to know, I'm looking for a fantastic pair of poultry shears. Something that would make it easier to spatchcock chickens and turkeys. I'm willing to spend for shears that work well and last me. Do you have any suggestions?
I have a pair of Oxio. What's that brand?
Oxio?
Yeah. And
OXO?
They work really well. Big pair, and they dismantle itself to wash them really thoroughly. You know, the two blade comes apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. I really like my pair of shears.
You like your pair of shears?
And again, if your shears are getting dull, just separate them like those two are separated, two blades, and I sharpen them on the steel just like I would anything else.
Just like anything else. What'd you get there, Tom?
I just went over and got the ones we use here at the hot stove, and of course we have KitchenAid because they're our sponsors here. So we have KitchenAid stoves and mixers and food processors, knives, pans, and kitchen shears, and they look just fine. I like what Terry said. I don't know that these come apart like some do, but some of them are, they just come apart
in two pieces
very easily.
Yep.
And that is, this is a Mercer. It's a German knife company, I think, right? And they come apart, and I do like that because they're easier to sharpen that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like a tight, on a kitchen shear, a really tight, what would you call where the little thing that
joint?
Joint.
Yeah, joint, yeah.
Because you can feel on this one, this is no
brand. A little loose.
Because when you're getting in there and you're cutting through a bone, you really want to have some sturdiness and that the blade doesn't torque. Right?
Yeah.
If the blade torques, then you're not going to get through the bone. You have a chance of cutting yourself. And the problem with that is when you're cutting through bone, you've got some pressure going on.
Right.
It's like cutting through a carrot with a regular chef knife. You know,
right.
The worst cuts are when you have a hard vegetable that you have to put pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the difference between, say, cutting through a carrot and cutting through a banana? Your cut is going to be much worse if you miss when you're cutting through a carrot, right? Because you just got a whole lot more pressure going on.
If you miss, the finger's gone.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. When you have these shears, I've thought about purchasing some myself because I don't mind a spatchcock chicken every now and again. But then I'm like, is that the only thing that I would use those for? When else are you using?
I use a boning knife to cut my chicken because I only cut it from the top. So that bone in the carcass of the chicken doesn't need actually shear for me.
Yeah.
But I'm a chef, so I don't use shear for basically anything.
Nor do I. And I, you know, you can pretty much take that backbone out pretty easily and cut down the inner breastbone. If you wanted shears, is what I'm saying, where else would you use
them? Well, my wife, Jackie, is more comfortable with the shears when she spatchcocks a chicken. I just use an 8-inch chef knife and just cut down both sides of the backbone and then break the breast. You don't even need to cut the breast. You just need to break it. Just hit it with the heel of your hand. And, of course, you're going from the inside out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the way. What else do I use them for? They're just a convenient butcher twine, you know, just whatever.
Yeah. Anything that needs cutting packages.
Yeah.
Cutting the flowers you're going to put on the table.
Sure.
They do work well with, you know, big thick stem zinnias or roses or things like that. The butcher's shears work better than some home scissors do.
Maybe when you're entertaining. Mm-hmm. They're entertaining shears. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next question comes from Mandy. This is a little bit longer. She says, I'd like to create a puff pastry wrapped black cod similar in style to a beef Wellington. The fish would be laid on a bed of butternut puree and a layer of fresh spinach leaves on top. Then the whole thing is wrapped in a puff pastry and cooked until golden and crispy. I've worked with black cod quite a lot and have always found it to be a very wet fish to work with. I'm wondering how not to end up with a soggy mess. Is there a way to extract the excess moisture prior to assembling and cooking that won't interfere with the beautiful, rich, buttery taste and texture of the black cod? Thank you. Ooh, that is a that's a next level question.
It's technical. The first thing I would do is make sure you put your butternut puree into a pan on medium heat and then keep moving it around, but dehydrate the puree from the extra water that's in there, because there's a lot of water in butternut squash. So I would do that first, then I would cool it off, and I would not put the puree down first on the pastry. I would put the fish, then I would put the puree, then I would put the spinach to wrap up the whole thing. So you would keep extra moisture into the puff pastry, and then wrap the whole thing in the puff pastry. Make sure you cook it super high heat to start, and then I would brush some very heavy egg yolks and a little bit of sea salt right on top of that puff pastry. So it creates that beautiful crust and become very crispy.
Hmm.
Other than that, I don't get have nothing else to say.
Well, just to add on to yours a little bit, you could easily cook your butternut squash the day before, put it in a strainer, and let it drain overnight in your fridge. And then that'll really, it's like pumpkin pie filling, you just let it drain out. The other thing is, the Japanese on the black cod will do a salted fish, right? Mm-hmm. And then that will take some of the moisture out of your fish. Like a Kasuzuke black cod is searing.
So good.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So that dries it out a little bit and makes it more buttery. The oils are left.
And I forgot to mention, when it's really moist, what you do is you take a little piece of foil, you make like a cigarette, like a cheminée kind of idea, and you poke that into the puff pastry. So the puff pastry bakes, but the steam comes out.
Okay, we have
like a pie bird.
Yeah, I like that. 1 minute left. Really quick question. I think you can do it. Larissa and her husband make sausages, but they freeze them because they make big batches. They want to know best way to heat up these sausages because they're arguing over it.
The best way to heat them up, you can cook them from frozen.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Or you could let them slack out in the fridge. Just don't put them under running water.
Yeah. No running water. And then do you like to boil and sear?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We have to move on.
Wow.
I am grossed out.
How dare I?
Don't boil your sausage.
Did you say boil? Oh my goodness.
That was a good Kitty.
Just a bunch of
We'll be right back
around.
On Cairo. We have to go take
Kitty,
a big break.
That was
break.
A good idea.
We're going to take a trip in the town on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.
Wow.
We are in the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. You know, we're here every Tuesday to tape, and we have a live audience, and they're very active today because they haven't been fed yet.
Hangry. They are hangry.
They're hangry right
they're
now.
They're anxious.
Yes, indeed. Waiting on the Dahlia Bakery breakfast sandwich. So what's going on? We're going to take a trip to town because everyone's going to have to get reacquainted with how to get to Midtown because since the new exits from the old viaduct are now closing, right, or closed, both Western Avenue and Seneca Street. Mm-hmm. No, not Seneca. What was the one? Columbia. Used to get on going south, get off at Seneca, get on at Western,
Battery.
Off at Western, Battery Street. It's all gone. So now you got to reacquaint yourself. So where, KDO... are you going to have your first... Let's start with the appetizer when you get back into downtown Seattle.
Oh, well, I never leave downtown Seattle because I love it so much. I always try to find a way. But as we've talked about before, I love the Pike Place Market this time of the year. This is when I feel most like a local when I'm shopping at the Pike Place Market because it's a little bit quieter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even today as we're taping, it's a beautiful, crisp, sunny day. It's like, it's idyllic, I think, in a lot of ways. So I would start out by going to Etta's and having a little seafood, a little seafood appetizer. You know, I love that tuna. And your
tuna salad.
Yeah, yeah. And you it's sashimi, which is delicious, and you serve it with those kind of like white guy green onion pancakes that I super love.
White guy green onion pancake.
Well, she's Japanese, so she can say that. But yeah, that's true.
That's true. They're made out, well, I should say they're a little bit more Mexican because you make them with like flour tortillas or something. Yeah, but I think that they are so delicious and crispy and flaky. And that with a little fresh tuna sashimi with the wasabi tobiko on top and the radish sprouts, that sounds super, super good. I would gobble that up right now.
Wow. Terry, okay, you're coming back downtown. I know you've been living here, too. We're just making it up for our
listeners.
We're just
having a good time.
That's fun.
What are you going to reacquaint yourself with after a month off of downtown eating?
So I think sticking to the Pike Place Market, do we have to stay there the whole time?
No, you can go wherever you want. You're not on a crawl with me.
I was going to go and get some nice little lunch at Matt's in the Market because I think it's quite essential. Seattle as well as reacquaintance to Pike Place Market. Lots of soul up there, second floor at the Pike Place Market. And have a nice little big dish of mussel, panko of mussel, steamed. I think I would have a wonderful lunch with some grilled bread. Very simple, but a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. Sounds really good right now. Where's that sandwich, Tom?
That sounds good.
All right, Tom, where would you go? Where would you have your first little dinner?
I would make a staycation. I would go to the Pike Place Market along with you.
I guess we all just love the market.
Well, I'm just saying, it's the heart and soul of the city, so if you have to reacquaint yourself, it seems like a good spot to do it. I'd rent the Beecher's Loft, which is at the end of the market, above Beecher's Cheese. We've all seen them making the cheese behind the glass. So above that, there's a loft. It's called the Beecher's Loft that's run by the Inn at the Market. And it is spectacular urban environment right in the Pike Place Market. And then I would just start. I'd come on like a Friday night, hang out, do a little dinner at the Pink Door or something of that nature. Then I would get up in the morning and make a list.
This is my favorite thing to do when I stayed at the Inn in the Market. I did the exact same thing, made a big list, hit all the fun places. Where do you like to go?
Well, I would start right off at Don and Joe's, and I think I would pick something that I couldn't get anyplace else, and they always have lamb tongues, which is a meat item that you can't really buy anyplace else.
Mm-hmm. They also have sweet breads, too.
Yeah, they have sweet breads, lamb tongues. So the lamb tongues are so tender when they're slowly braised. And then goes to Socio's Produce and get some of the. They always have a great mushroom selection. I would stop in De Laurentiis, pick out my olive oils, my vinegars,
cheeses.
I'd go to Pike and Western Wine Shop and get my wines for the night. Start with some bubbles, maybe a little white Burgundy, and finish with a Meritage of something.
Sure.
I can't believe you didn't start this whole shopping excursion off with starting at Le Panier.
I know, I was going to say.
A little Frion. Something, yeah.
I love the Frion, the little sponge cookie with a little coffee from Le Panier.
Delicious.
I would go into the market area and find something that would be a keepsake to put into my dinner. So maybe buy, there's a couple of different guys who make great cheese boards, or like cutting boards that make a good cheese board. So I would go to Beecher's and get some cheeses and buy a keepsake cutting board.
A nice
Sur La Table is right there. I'd buy a platter to serve my dinner on. All my lamb tongue with the wild mushrooms, a big keepsake platter.
Get a couple bouquet of those big flowers they have on the market.
Yeah, it's a little tough right now. I'm not a big fan of the dried bouquets.
Oh, yeah.
So I bet there's some forced tulips out there at the moment.
I was going to say, I bet because of the unseasonably warm weather we've been having, there might be some tulips out there.
Yeah, there's forced tulips. Mm-hmm. You got to know, rhubarb is going to start showing up right now from the Kent hot houses. So maybe a little rhubarb tart for dessert. Sounds fantastic. So, yeah, there is so much to do.
There is so much to do.
So much to get caught up on.
Then you could do a little visit to the same museum. It's only a couple blocks away. Yeah. You could do There's so much you could do. It's, yeah. I mean, downtown is very vibrant.
On a day like today, I walk through the Olympic Sculpture Park or down on the waterfront.
Yeah.
I think it's important that even if you have lived in Washington State for a very long time, that occasionally you treat yourself like a tourist and you go do the things that perhaps you would only do if someone was coming into town and treat yourself and have a really nice little lovely getaway weekend within your own state.
Sounds fantastic. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. Brandi Carlile event. We're going to have a little tribute dinner for her on February 10th at the Palace Ballroom.
Very nice.
It's going to be super fun. Tickets are free, but you have to have a ticket. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to tomdouglas.com and sign up for a ticket.
Is it the day of the Grammys?
It's the night of the Grammys, February 10th. We're going to do a little red carpet. But we can't charge to see the Grammys because that's illegal. But
of course.
We are charging for food and beverage.
And you're doing some great donation work, if I'm not mistaken.
We're going to raise money for Brandy's foundation called the Looking Out Foundation. Yeah. She and her wife, Catherine, are big founders and supporters of that foundation.
So cool.
Looking forward to that. And then also getting you ready for the Winter Flower Show, the Flower and Garden Show at the Convention Center. We're going to have a big booth there. And we have a secret handshake.
Oh.
And words.
That do tell, up, Tom.
We're going to have a special little treat for you if you come up to our booth and go HSS Seattle Kitchen and give us a couple of peace signs. Just like the Richard Nixon, Roger Stone peace signs.
Not that we're
spread your arms.
Not that we're supporting that, but you know.
No, I'm saying peace. Yeah, I'm all, peace. I'm all peace. I love peace.
So more that's John
Lennon-y. If you come to our booth at the Flower and Garden Show and give me those two things, I will have a treat for you.
Ooh, a treat. Yes.
I'm not going to tell you what that is.
Okay.
You're going to have to come earn it. thanks for coming on our trip into town after Carmageddon. Now we're going to celebrate with a dinner party with a local twist on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Okay, it's time. It's time for a dinner party on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. It's Tom Douglas.
Terry Roturo, the chef in the hat.
And I'm Katie O, and it is time to have a dinner party. And this dinner party is inspired by one of our listeners, Brad Brzezinski. Brad Brzezinski messaged us recently about his upcoming dinner party with this incredible sounding theme. And basically, he's hosting a multi-course dinner with the theme of caught it, made it, grew it, found it. Okay. Mm. Can you kind of catch where this is going? So
we're having squirrel for dinner.
Those things are hard to catch. You'd have to really set some traps and plan this out well in advance. But some of the things that he has on his menu is a chanterelle risotto with smoked turkey stock. Found it, made it. Very nice. A tuna niçoise salad. Caught it and grew it. Very nice. And some ginger jalapeno razor clams. Also, caught it. And grew it. Huh. So, I'm impressed.
Yes.
And I think we're going to put you two up to the same sort of challenge. Things that you could catch or grow. And Tom, don't try to lean on Jackie and her beautiful farm in Prosper, Washington.
Why not?
Why not?
No, that's a good point. All right, you can use it. But
I'll tell you one thing. If I had the farm, I would definitely be growing it and cooking it at the same time. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've seen a ton of pictures right now of people going out and razor clamming and all the things that they're getting. And although it is our winter season, there are still things to be found and had and enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So that is the theme of our dinner party. Obviously, our special guest.
Now, we'd have to, like,
show is going to be Brad.
Catch it at a butcher shop or catch it at a fish store. Like, down in the market, they throw fish all the time. Can we catch it there?
That does feel like an adequate solution.
Okay.
If you're in an urban setting, we will forgive you. Shopping can be allowed.
Oh, Sarah is pointing out more information to me. She says that the theme is, one or more component of your dish has to come from you.
Mm. So who's our guest?
Brad.
Oh, Brad's going to be our guest.
Brad's going to be our guest.
Do we know what kind
our
of music he likes? Or is
we
he
don't
just,
know a thing.
Is he just a sportsman, urban forager?
It seems as though.
Okay.
He's
only classical music, I would say, would be good to start. Maybe
classical. Okay. Are you going to start?
Four Seasons from Vivaldi. Good way to start.
All right. You start.
I start. Champagne. Would be the first thing I would bring to the table.
Did you make it, catch it?
No, I have it in my cellar, always, just in case Armageddon comes by. I'm okay. going downstairs and drinking it up.
Oh, Thierry makes so many things, though. He produces so much.
I would make a nice cocktail to start that would be made with... I have a Queen's Puree in my freezer. I have a few bags of Queen's Puree. As you know, I have a Queen's tree in my backyard, and I make puree every year. I would put one of those bags and make a cocktail with vodka and Queen's Puree into the vodka, mix the two together, and a big fat ice cube in there, and give that for a little appetizer, for a little aperitif, I would say. Mm. Vodka, Queen's Puree, and a nice big fat ice cube.
Where does the champagne come in? I thought you started
with champagne. I would finish with the drink with the champagne right on top of that. Oh. Like a float kind of idea.
I see.
But not too much champagne. It's about one quarter of champagne, one quarter of vodka, and two quarter of puree.
Okay.
How's that?
I'd drink that.
I would drink that, I think. Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like I could also get drunk on that if I don't eat something. So, mm-hmm. Tom, what are you going to bring to this very special dinner party with Brad where we can have a little snack, mm-hmm. a little snacky poo?
Mm-hmm. Does it have to be seasonal? Like, could it be something that...
Quince is out of season.
I picked last August. like watercress from the sewage drains of, of Beacon Hill.
What about those beautiful paste tomatoes that you always have in the freezer?
Oh, in my freezer, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you said I couldn't rely on Jackie.
Well, a marriage, you know, marriages are complicated, okay. but one right. become two or so two I'm become one to, or whatever I'm that saying
yeah,
is.
Yeah, okay. I've got this now.
Whoa, watch out. Over. Don't fall.
I'm going to do those paste tomatoes. That sounds like a good idea. And then I'm going to jig for squid off of Pier 70, which I've done before. Have you ever done?
Yes. I did that when I was a kid, but yeah. I would totally go again. You want to go on a jigging
date? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's super fun. You keep a little bucket of, and it turns black and mm-hmm. yeah,
inky.
So I'm going to take those paste tomatoes, make a little sauce, and then I'm going to make a little pasta, and I'm going to have a little squid pasta. So I'm just going to take the squid that I caught at Pier 70, mm-hmm. clean it up, make tubes and tentacles out of it and little circles.
Yep.
Hit it with the very shoulder edge of a knife and just give it a little crisscross cuts mm-hmm. on the tubes so that it tenderizes it. Give it a hot sear with garlic and peppers
Yum.
And olive oil, and then just stir my spaghetti into the squid. So I have a little squid spaghetti on top of my beautiful pasty tomato sauce.
Look at that.
Little hot chilies.
Mm.
Jackie has this espalette pepper that she dried and powdered.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, my goodness.
I was lucky enough to get some. They yeah. are hotter than hot.
Yes.
I don't
Very
know
good.
About these
Little
espalette
goes a long
peppers,
way.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
That sounds thrilling.
All right. Well, I'm going to, you know, I buy some beef from time to time from this online company called Crowd Cow.
I've done that. It's
very
cool.
nice beef. You know, they search for the best beef. Company you can find, or farm, I should say, then you mm-hmm. can farm, and they're all mostly Washington. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a little brisket this time of the year. You know, mm-hmm. I have a big 5-pound brisket, and I'm going to do a brisket. Then I'm going to macerate a little bit in spice rub for maybe an hour before I cook it on the counter. And then I'm going to sear that piece of beef. Underneath, I'm going to put lots of quarter onion, lots of it, a few potatoes, seed and carrots, and then seed the beef right on top of that. I'm going to put a little bit of red wine, maybe a bottle, into the roasting pan, and then put that in the oven.
Cracks me up, a little bit of red wine. My mother would use it, because she would like 2 tablespoons of red wine. Teresa's a little bit, a bottle.
Just a whole bottle of
red
wine.
Well, I mean, it's a 5-pound piece of brisket. You got to put things in proportion.
Yeah, she would use a small onion and two tablespoons of red wine.
I'm probably going to, I did this recently, so I'm going to use probably 6 whole onion cut in quarters. You have 24 quarter of onion, and probably 3 or 4 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/4 pound of butter diced in there. Put the whole thing together, fresh herbs. Put that in the oven at about 325 degrees, and let that puppy cook for about 5 hours, and make a beautiful brisket with melted onions, carrots. Everything is melting around the whole thing. And then next to that, do some sauteed kale, which are right in my backyard right now.
There we go. I was about to nail you on this. It's like,
don't worry.
Like
I'm
any
with you.
Of this is from you.
And the carrots are from the backyard, too, by the way. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Tom, we've only got a couple minutes.
Yep.
What you going to do
We only
do
have
dessert?
1 minute.
Do it.
I'm heading down to the Kent Valley. I'm going to Richter's, and I'm going to break in at night because the hothouses down there are dark at night. and I'm going to take a spade and I'm going to shovel out a big patch of rhubarb, and I'm going to make, you know, last week Sarah and Brittany made crostatas. I'm going to make a rhubarb crostata with some vanilla and bay scented whipped cream. What? Sarah's shaking her head. Yes.
That was a yes because it sounds very good.
Yeah, a little rhubarb crostata because it is high time for spring to hit our kitchen counters.
I'm with you. And then pretty soon on the news, we'll be hearing local celebrity chef Tom Douglas arrested for breaking an entry.
Snatching rhubarb.
Here's a picture of him with his headlamp on.
In the Kent Valley with a headlamp on. Yeah, exactly. All right. It's time for the Baker's Corner. We're going to talk trashy dessert for the Super Bowl. Let's talk about some of Brittany's favorites to serve at a Super Bowl party on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. It's time for the Baker's Corner with Brittany Bartleben from the Dahlia Bakery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tamping down on what we need to do to make a successful Super Bowl quote-unquote trashy dessert.
This is probably my favorite radio show we've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, what? So.
Really?
I was just asking these guys earlier before you showed up, but why is it that a Super Bowl has to be trashy all the time? Why can't it just be delicious like a floating island meringue with candied violets and things like that?
And then he made me defend the sanctity of Super Bowl finger foods for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So go for it. What, as you just said, this is, we've done some mighty incredible things in the Baker's Corner, yet this, you've just stated, is your favorite Baker's Corner ever.
It's because I've been allowed to be myself and let my trashy soul
really
shown to the public.
Are you that race
I've
train?
Shown glimpses of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, are you that just, race
I
train?
Well, no, I'm not, but...
I didn't think so.
Yeah, I love to do trashy stuff. I certainly try not to do it in the bakery, but I like to have a sense of humor or just have some fun with dessert from time to time, and I think the Super Bowl is the perfect opportunity to do that.
Okay.
You know, Jello shots and
oh, we are talking trashy.
Yeah. There's nothing elegant about a Jello shot. What? If you've ever eaten a Jello shot, it's...
You got to stick your tongue into the cup.
You make slurpy noises.
Yeah, exactly.
So you make your own Jello, of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah, see, there's trashy, but, you know, elegant and made from scratch at the same time.
So tell someone how to make your own Jello, because I bet you most people... I've never made Jello.
It's
number
so
one.
Simple. Rather than buying flavored gelatin, such as Jello, you just buy unflavored gelatin and then add your own sugar and booze if you want it. You don't have to make it alcoholic. And juices and simple syrup. And so it can be a very delicious, if not elegant, but, you know, fun thing to make.
Yeah.
Give us a taste of what, like, flavors you would create with your own homemade Jello shot.
I like to go simple, something that I don't have to do a lot of work. But, you know, I love a grapefruit Jello shot with some gin, my own little salty dog.
Did you say grapefruit or grapefruit?
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit Jello shot.
Yeah, that would be delicious.
Yeah, it's a great time this time of year. A blood orange mojito.
Yeah.
You know, an Arnold Palmer. I always have a hard time saying that word. Arnold Palmer would be great. You don't have to add alcohol to that. It'd be fun for the kids that are watching.
that want to join in the Jello shot
taking.
Yes, of course.
If you really want to... you know, put some effort into it. You could do a root beer float style Jello shot. And so you're doing a root beer flavored shot. And then you can add a little gelatin to, say, some heavy cream and some sugar and do sort of a layer of cream on top.
So, well, those are sophisticated Jello shot
pie. My favorite is Irish coffee Jello shot.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
So you just have a little coffee Jello. And then you put that jellied cream on the top. If you want to get crazy, you can do a little float of Bailey's or something.
Love it.
That's trashy.
Yeah, right so there. Trashy.
That's super trashy. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's nice. All right, what else do you have in terms of trashy desserts?
Can we go back to that? Oh, just to the Jello shot one second. The layers. I mean, that's really when you start to become somebody.
Yes.
In the Jello shot world. When you can make layers or swirls.
I personally think our Gay Pride Jello shot, just throwing that in, that is a rainbow seven-layer Jello shot.
Seven-layer Jello shot.
Yeah, that is...
Bow down to Brittany Bartleben! Yeah.
That's a real commitment to the Jello shot.
It is. It takes time. It's easy, it's
seven
but it just time, takes time.
Yeah, seven
time
we have to sell them for $100 a piece, but...
Yeah. You can make them a few days ahead of time. You can, you know, it's an easy project that you can start you know, a few days before the Super Bowl or whatever your event is, and then layer by layer add it.
Mm-hmm. So you layer it in, then you refrigerate it, and layer it in, refrige, you know, all the way through.
And
what
so
about
on.
If you want to swirl?
I've not tried that.
So can you swirl, like, to me, like the, if you had the jellied cream part and you've got the dark black coffee mm-hmm. part, can you swirl the cream in and keep the swirl while it refrigerates?
I'm sure you can. You just want to... let that initial layer set just enough so mm-hmm. it's you can move it around, but it's not
I'm not
set
quite sure
completely.
How you would get to the swirl through
well,
the...
Well, you'd do yeah. the same thing with the top layer. You'd let that set so that's gelatinized but not set.
Right.
And you can still move it around.
Now, well, Brittany, have
science
you...
science here is
yeah. yeah, have you thought about looking in the old Jell-O cookbooks from the 1950s and perhaps making, like, a lime Jell-O studded with baby bay shrimp?
I have not thought of that.
I'm going to bring you a cookbook.
I like this story.
I mean, you I
like
know
you
I love my 60s Jell-O recipes.
Yeah,
all my
60s
Jell-O recipes comes from my mother's little handwritten
yeah.
Jell-O card. Or a hand recipe cards.
Nothing like a little tuna salad.
Yeah,
and
a little cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that mm-hmm. as well.
Or how
yeah.
about the all-time Super Bowl favorite, tomato aspic?
Everyone loves
everyone
tomato
loves
aspic.
Oh, yeah, real
tomato
Super
aspic. Bowl.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that with mozzarella and arugula?
No, I have a recipe for it in I Love
oh,
Crab
boy,
Cakes, my
really?
Book with crab salad, tomato aspic.
That yeah. sounds kind of yeah. elegant.
Yeah.
Not
mm-hmm.
trashy enough for Super
okay.
Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. Trashy desserts.
Trashy desserts. I love a blondie. Blondie doesn't have to be trashy, but it can be.
What is that?
No, I used to be blonde. Saying.
No, he's a gray.
No, I'm a gray.
Yeah.
So a blondie, if, for those who don't know, is essentially a bar cookie. Opposite of a brownie. There's no chocolate in it unless mm-hmm. you want there to be chocolate chips or something. But what I love is that it's a blank canvas and you can add potato chips and pretzels and oh. all the dirty mix-ins.
Oh, so
you
it's savory. It's not sweet.
Sweet and salty, which is one of my favorite flavor combos.
Cool.
Yeah. So
interesting. I never thought about that. I do love like a little peanut butter stuffed
yeah,
pretzel or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling this. This feels right? like another place for what I think of as being kind of trashy, which is the butterscotch chip.
And that would be a great place for a blondie. A blondie is a vehicle for junk food.
Yeah.
And it somehow ends up tasting delicious. One tip on a blondie, most recipes are going to call for a melted butter. Go a step further and brown your butter. Mm. Make a beurre noisette.
Mm. 100%
yes,
extra flavor.
It's just so delicious.
Yeah.
Worth the extra 30 seconds.
I like your trash, though. So far, it sounds really good.
It's elegant trash. Yeah.
It's the kind of trash I can pick up.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Classy raccoon.
Yeah. And for Super Bowl, I like to think of handheld things you can just reach for. You don't need a plate. One thing that's kind of fun is you can make, if you want to really go all out in the kitchen, make eclairs and top them with, say, cereal, like Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles.
Or the colors of your favorite team.
Or the colors of the favorite team. Or make a chocolate one and do the piped Hostess swirl on top.
Mm-hmm.
It looks trashy. It tastes top
classy.
Shelf. Yeah.
Top exactly. shelf
one of the,
classy
one of the things that I think people make a mistake on in eclairs the most is they don't get their custard... firm enough.
Exactly.
Right? It's
yep.
a pastry cut.
And they
it's
don't like, dry their pâte à choux enough.
They don't dry it enough?
Correct. Which makes a soggy éclair, which is not very pleasant.
No.
You want to have still a little crunch in that pâte à choux, which is the base of the éclair.
Is that a temperature thing when they're baking it, or is that a length of time baking?
No, it's bake it long enough, but also do it a day or two before and leave it on the shelf so it dries out really nicely, because... Mm-hmm. Once you put that cream in there, it's going to create plenty of moisture, mm-hmm. so then your dough is actually soft on the inside but still crispy on the outside. Plus, you put that nice
yeah.
cream on top or whatever you glaçage
okay, so
or whatever you do.
What would we put in for our ram filling?
Rams
it's
are
LA, right?
Let's do an avocado pastry cream.
Oh, gross.
Oh, my God.
Avocado,
damn.
I believe it's in Brazil, is eaten as dessert.
It is so
yes.
delicious.
Yeah.
I've had avocado, like, gelatos mm-hmm. and things. It,
yeah.
It brings out its
okay,
fruity
Okay, I'm voting
quality.
For the Patriots, then.
Oh, okay, no, you're
fine.
Not, sir.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Well, you better come up with something better than that.
Okay, so how about LA's sunshine? You know, we think of citrus. How
yeah.
about a nice orange?
Yes, blood yeah. orange.
Blood orange, yeah. something. There you go.
Aren't they big yeah. almond producers?
They are a big almond producer
yeah.
as well.
You could make it savory and do a goat confit.
Yeah. No, we can't.
Éclair.
No, we can't.
No, we cannot.
It sounded pretty good for a second. You had me for a second.
I know. I saw you stop on the...
Yeah.
No.
But they're rams. They're not goats.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but I mean, okay. Where are you going to find a ram?
So then the Patriots, what are we making for?
Just make the Toll House cookie.
I would make some
bagel. Brittany clearly has some feelings about who
I was
going to
say, you know,
win.
They make those little candies called the Boston Baked Beans. Uh-huh. We could put those in the blondies.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not going to humor you on the Patriots.
Really? Are you? Why are you such a hater?
Oh, it's...
It's a long, involved
yeah.
story. Okay, but you do watch. You do watch. The
I do watch the Super Bowl. Yes, right. I do.
All right. So we have Ram. Ram is a sheep, right?
Yeah.
Sheep confit eclairs. If you're a Rams fan,
savory eclairs, not savory sweet.
Plums. Okay. And then we have some Boston baked bean blondies.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. We've covered.
Sounds
them
like
both.
A fun Super Bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be curious if you guys want to. To email us, not email, or email or Facebook us pictures of your Super Bowl
foods.
Oh,
I would like to see.
I am going to pick my favorite picture of what looks the best, who knows, and you will get a set of our Rub With Love five-knife set of knives.
Yeah.
So for the favorite Super Bowl food picture, it doesn't have to be dessert, doesn't have to be anything, but...
As long as it looks good. It could be trash on the inside. We would never know.
I think my sense, since I'm making the prize and uh-huh. I'm going to be the judge uh-huh. and executioner, my guess is the little finer is going to be the winner.
Really?
Some finery would
okay.
be...
Okay. All right.
Would be awesome. Up next, Food for Thought, Tasty Trivia on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. For Food for Thought, Tasty Trivia on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Time for me to win and for you to lose. And so, before we get started, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
The Rams.
Wow! Whoa, here we go.
Chef Janet audience, is getting an opinion over there.
Yeah, KDO, you don't watch. You don't care.
Don't care.
Sarah,
the Rams.
I'm from New England, but I don't. Actually have any deep love for the Patriots, so I'm going to go with the one everyone likes.
She goes.
I like she's going for the Rams. So Terry's for the Rams. You're for the Rams. You are
I don't care.
Agnostic.
Yeah.
And I am the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I care about the coconut prawns, apparently. You and I are going to be eating.
I'm going to have those for dessert.
Okay. Yeah.
Cook the buff at my house.
Shrimp dessert. Everyone loves a shrimp dessert.
Okay. Time for Food for Thought, Tasty Trivia. Who's running the show today?
That is going to be Sarah, because I'm going to be your opponent today.
Mm.
Yes, that's right. So you guys know how this goes. You're each going to get five questions. Whoever gets the least correct has to give something up to our winner for this week. And this week's winner is Brad, because of his lovely dinner party. So, Tom, what are you going to give up?
He gets Brad whatever he wants.
What?
With a $100 gift card
okay,
to any of our restaurants. I hope he enjoys it. Hope he can forage his way through our joints.
Lovely. Terry, what are you going to give?
I think Brad likes those little, let me see. How about if he comes for a happy hour at Luke, where we have cheese curd and steak bites and things like this, so he can try something for... pre-Super Bowl kind of idea, so you can get some ideas.
Perfect.
How about that? Happy hour at Luke.
If I lose today, we have a 14-flavor flight, and all of our new ice creams are out from Molly Moon's. And I know Brad likes some local goodness, and we've got a nice Rachel's Ginger Beer Blood Orange Sherbet, which is Whoa. Really tasty, and that'll be part of it, too. So that's what I'll give away if I lose.
Well, that all sounds lovely. Who wants to go first?
I do.
All right.
KDO's going to stop like last week.
I just like to throw everyone off a little
bit.
Yeah,
switching up that
order. Even
though
it doesn't really do me any good. Anyway, go ahead, Sarah.
All right, your first question.
Okay.
What traditionally can you eat only when there is an R in the month?
Oysters.
That is correct. Your second question. What is the most widely eaten meat in the world?
I think it's...
Turkey?
I'd say goat.
I'd say goat, too. That's what actually I was going to say. Is it goat?
Do you want to say goat?
I do want to say goat.
And you're not right. It's pork.
Pork!
I thought last week it was goat.
Really?
A month ago when we had that.
It's a different game.
Say, I felt like I had good memory retention on.
By the way, the census for the questions have been updated.
Yeah, I guess so. We got some new 2019 information
coming in. I get it. Pork is delicious. It's not good for the environment, as we've previously talked about today. Anyway, go on.
All right, number three. What is spam short for? And I can give you some options.
Well, I already know.
All right, what is it?
Spiced ham.
That is correct.
A Hawaiian delicacy.
I am sad I didn't get to give you my option. I made a supreme packaged American meat.
That's not really good. Have you thought about going into marketing? Maybe podcasting isn't you.
I'll keep it in mind. Okay. It's in my back pocket.
Just think about it.
All right, number four. True or false? The Caesar salad was named for Julius Caesar.
I'm going to say false.
That is correct. It's actually named for a famed restaurateur called Caesar Cardini.
Oh, so, thanks, Cardini.
No Caesar
Love your
involved.
Salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you are two for two right now, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you can make it a nice, uneven three.
Okay, perfect.
In what country was ice cream invented?
I think the United States.
Is that your final answer?
Yes!
No, it's China.
Oh, China. What? They're so good, you know? The pasta, the tomatoes, fireworks.
I know, they've got it all, really.
They
ice
really
cream
do.
Was first eaten there in around 618 A.D.
Dang.
Katie, you've got 3 out of 5 correct. So
yeah,
let's
that
see
sounds about right.
If
thanks,
Terry
Sarah.
And Tom can beat it, who's coming next?
I'll go next. It's
all
fun.
Right, Terry. Your first question, what is the oldest known vegetable? And I have some options if you want them.
That would be interesting.
So
beef?
Is it? Yeah. Is it
mutton?
Beef? No. Is it carrots, peas, or squash?
I'm gonna go with squash.
That is incorrect. It's actually peas. They were found in Stone Age settlements dating to 8,000 to 10,000 years
ago. Oh, that's because they haven't found the squash yet.
Yeah, they haven't found the remains.
They found the peas, but they haven't found the squash.
They found the carrots right afterwards, so they always had peas and carrots.
That's right. Yeah. That's where the dish was assumed that they go together.
All right, your second question. Approximately how many coffee beans are in a shot of espresso?
All right, give me some ideas.
All right, is it 40, 65, or 58?
What? I'm going to go with 65.
It's actually 40. Not as many as you might think.
That's because they don't know how to make coffee the way I make it.
Of course, of course. They're going weak. All right.
All right, that's 2-4.
That's 0 right now.
2-4-0.
2-0.
Who's winning?
What do the initials UHT refer to in relation to milk?
Ultra hot temperature.
That's yeah.
Something
that's
like
close
that.
Enough.
It's
ultra heat treated.
Oh, ultra heat.
No, ultra no. hot temperature. No.
All right. It's not
that
close
sounded
enough.
Good.
You're
I'm
wrong.
Giving it to him.
Oh.
How dare you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll give that one to you, as Tom says. So your next question, what type of meat is used in the preparation of ossobuco?
Veal.
That is correct. All right. Your last question, Terry, to tie with Katie. Webb's Wonderful and Winter Destiny are varieties of which vegetable? I can give you some options.
Listening.
Are they varieties of onions, squash, or lettuce?
I'm going to go with lettuce.
That is correct.
Wow.
You and KDO have tied for 3.
Ah. Tom's going to do 2.5.
No.
All right, Tom, let's see if you can beat that.
Okay.
All right, your first question. What does vol-au-vent actually mean in French?
Vol-au-vent, it means sauce.
It means... Flying on the wind.
Yeah.
Castillo Branco cheese originates from which country?
Oh, absolutely Spain.
No, it's Portugal.
It was a good guess.
They're close. Black cream, green zebra, and yellow
tomatoes.
Pear. Yes, that is correct. You're
that
on the board.
Green zebra that gave it away, huh?
Yeah.
That one.
All right. Get 2 more right, and you will also have tied.
Great.
We'll have a nice slap.
Right.
If you saw chou fleur on a French menu,
ooh,
which vegetable would the dish include?
He's really trying your French today. I like
yeah.
it.
Got chou fleur. Cauliflower.
That's correct.
Mon petit right. chou. Isn't that like a cute
yeah.
little like...
Little, chou is cabbage. So.
A little pumpkin.
Ah. All right. Your last question. You could tie with both Terry and Katie.
It's a dream of mine.
From which sea creature is tamale obtained?
Tamale? Lobster.
That is correct.
Woo!
We
you would think that would be something off
tie.
The coast of Mexico.
But no,
wrapped in a corn so husk.
Yes.
Out of a
truck.
Just a
turns
husk
out
of an exoskeleton.
Inside of a lobster.
All right, so we're going to have a slap-off.
Okay, Sean, you're the man.
Gotta watch. All right, and the question is, what type of wine is sect? Tom.
German wine.
Yeah, we'll take it. It's German sparkling
yeah,
wine.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow, good
right.
job.
Good for you, bravo.
Hey. So, That means that Brad gets a whole thing of ice cream from you and a
happy hour
from you, because you're both a couple of losers.
Losers! We tried to gang up on you, and then we both lost.
I know, exactly. If you want to be part of our show, you can send us a note on Facebook or Twitter at Seattle Kitchen. You're listening to us on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. This show is produced by LARJ Media. Our lead producer is Sarah Leibovitz, and our sound engineer is Sean Don't Call Me Del Torre. If you'd like to be part of our studio audience, go to hotstovesociety.com and buy tickets for only $15. It comes with a delicious breakfast sandwich. Yeah. And remember, if you miss any episode of Seattle Kitchen, you can subscribe to our podcast through Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the Cairo Radio app and search for Seattle Kitchen.
Thanks for listening.
Have a great weekend.